It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
There's the art of magic and there's the art of comedy. Combine the two and add the third ingredient of Las Vegas, and you get my guest, award-winning comedy magician Fielding West, performing at the A-Stars Comedy Show at the Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel, April 11th, 12th, and 13th at 8 p.m. For ticket information, go to ahernhotel.com. And for everything about Fielding West, go to fieldingwest.com, and you can follow him on Facebook. And Fielding, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ira. I think we just talked about this yesterday. I've done more of your shows than anybody else in the history of Ira Sternberg.
I think that's correct. It's almost the Guinness book, except we're talking about the drink Guinness, not the actual award.
Right.
I think you're in the Sternberg Book of World Records. Anyway, welcome back. And to start it all off, could you saw yourself in half for us? I think that would be really great.
I could do that, or... What do you like the new look? Do you like the white hair and the no hair dye?
Yes, I do like it. For those listening, Fielding usually comes across as rather dashing with a very different type of hair. So it's a whole new look for him, which is fine.
Yeah, Thanksgiving last year, my grandson said to me, "Grandpa, we're so happy you finally came out." I said, "What do you mean you came out?" He said, "Well, now you can tell everybody you're openly gray."
I don't want to get too much into your background because a lot of people know it, but for those listening and watching who may not know, give us a brief synopsis of your interesting career that goes all the way back in time to the mists of time. In fact, a lot of it was at a hotel that unfortunately is now closed.
No, the Met Hotel.
No, the Tropicana. The Tropicana.
Tropicana, Met, the Aladdin Hotel. I was there for several years in a show that's now Planet Hollywood. I was the first time I headlined on the Strip. I was at a place called, it's now called The Link, Ralph Engelstad's place. I'm going blank. What was the name of that?
It was Flamingo Capri and then Imperial Palace.
Imperial Palace, that is correct. Right.
And yeah, it's the blind leading the blind because I have pollen hitting my brain and you're just Fielding West. So between the two of us, we will stumble through this.
Yes,
make
we will.
It work. Yeah. So what you're saying to me is that you are responsible for quite a few hotel closures.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I had a t-shirt made at one time that listed all the hotels that had been imploded. And I put on the t-shirt, it said World Tour of Las Vegas. And I listed all those hotels. And of course, they're all gone. So,
yeah. Right. Which is why, we'll talk a little bit about you're on tour with Lance Burton as well. And I felt bad for some of those venues because if we look at the hotels that have happened in Vegas where you perform, what's going to happen to those venues in these other cities and towns?
Very true. Well, we play a lot of Native American casinos. And a little known factor is I think right around 1,000 in North America. So we've got quite a selection. We don't, Lance likes to go back to a place every other year. He feels if you have to go back every year, then you've got to change your show. But if you go back every other year, you can just change just a few minor things.
When you're on the road, how is that different from when you have an ongoing performance? When you were at the Trop, for example, you were an ongoing performer there. So in other words, I don't want to say residency per se, but you're a part of the whole Follies Bergère. So how does that work where now you're on the road as well? And I'll get to the Ahern in a little bit, but I want to get people to get a sense of what you do. So when you're on the road with Lance and others as well performing, you're going from town to town, but it's not a consistent day-to-day traveling because it's spaced out over time, right?
Yes. What he does is we have a booking agent that will route us. And so we will do sometimes two, sometimes four shows. We will fly into a central city. Lance will show up with his touring bus that he purchased, an Encore, very, very nice bus. Excuse me, pollen. And we're both suffering from pollen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Lance will pick us up in his bus. I have my own little couch. We've got television. We've got refrigerators, and I mean, it's everything. It's got food. It's just fantastic. And I've got my own little bed. And of course, since I've seen you last, I had pneumonia, which caused a big problem with my lungs. So now I have this Antigen 1 oxygen machine, which you see me hooked up to. And what I did was I worked it into my act. So I didn't want to just come out and have people looking, oh, who's this guy? You know, this guy's all messed up. I go out and I do open with my bird, which is about 3.5-4 minutes. And then I cue the girl to come on, and she brings me the oxygen machine, and I put it on. And while I'm talking, I talk about magicians. And of course, you'll see this if you come down to the Ahern. But I'm doing magic tricks. I'm not going to say exactly what it is, but I do magic tricks with the machine. So I've worked it into the act. One of the main things about this, when people come to see me at the Ahern, it used to be the Red Dragon, but it's now the Ahern. The Ahern family bought it. It's a non-gambling hotel. It's very, very nice. Great restaurants. The showroom, I really, really like. It's a little smaller than what I'm used to playing in, but it's very intimate, and the crowd really loves it. It's a great sound system. The bar, everything's in the same room. It's all right in the same room. Seating is great. There's not a bad seat in the house. Lighting is great. They built it from the ground up. And so he got a manager, Lorenzo Clark, from Los Angeles. And Lorenzo, a magician, comedy magician, is the host of the show. Now, when I come in, he won't be doing comedy and magic, but I believe he's going to have a girl come out and eat fire. So I'm always very hot way to start the show. So there'll be a fire eater,
right?
And then there's another comic, and shame on me for not knowing who I'm working with. I think it's changed, but it's somebody. Somebody's going to be
well. He called me to do it, so I'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll be opening for me.
I'll be opening for, no, I'm making that up. I'm not going to open
one of the things that people are going to see in this particular show that they've not seen before is I will be doing less magic and telling more stories. So I'm going to talk about the things that have happened to me in Las Vegas. The first time I got beat up by a mob guy because I tried to shake Frank Sinatra's hand. getting fired by Liza Minnelli because I made a joke about Michael Jackson, all kinds of stories, how I got my start through Liberace. Liberace actually picked up the phone and called Jack Aglash at the Sahara Hotel and got me an audition. You remember years ago, back in the 80s, I used to have what they called a showcase on Monday nights. And Sandy Hackett, Buddy Hackett's son, was the host of that show. And so Liberace caught me stealing shrimp at a party because we didn't have any money, and I was sticking shrimp in a plastic bag in my pocket, and Liberace came up behind. This is one of the stories I'll be talking about. and we got into a great conversation, and I told him that we came to Las Vegas, and the manager that brought us out didn't pay us. So we got bamboozled right off the bat. And Liberace said, well, if your magic's better than the way you hide shrimp, I'm going to make a phone call on your behalf and see if we can't get you an audition. So he called the entertainment director at the Sahara, and he told him, he said, I'm coming down on Monday night, and I'm going to be sitting in that audience because I'm interested in seeing what this young man can do. And so that was basically my start. Hmm. And that night there was a couple of managers that were sitting also in that audience, and they said, this guy would be great. So I had no work, no money, went in there. Liberace, held up the, said, you should hire this guy, and introduced me to a manager named Russ Gary. I think you might remember Russ was the head of the musicians union at that time, but he had branched off, and he was booking the Kingston Trio and Glenn Yarborough, amongst other people. But now he's got Fielding West, and he had me opening. 1 week after I did that Sahara showcase, I was opening for Chubby Checkers all across Canada. And it was just, that's one of the stories.
So, that's great. So do you do the disappearing shrimp trick?
I do the disparate. No, no, actually, I have some money now. I can afford to buy shrimp.
Okay.
But we were at an after party for a television show called the Jimmy Awards, named after Jimmy Durante. And this was at the Tropicana Hotel. And the party, the after party, was on the mezzanine where the comedy room used to be. So the whole place is shut down now. But that was my beginning. And back then, Lee, I'll refer to Liberace as Lee. He always told his people that he liked, call me Lee. He said, somebody bring me a phone. And of course, the kids aren't going to understand this part of the conversation, but they brought him a phone and he plugged it in the wall and he dialed on it. And and that's how he got a hold of Jack Eglash. So it was fond memories, great memories of, and Tina Turner was there that night, Siegfried Roy, Tony Orlando, Bobby Gentry, and just a whole cast of kind of people you'd expect to see on a variety TV show.
Well, you're a good storyteller, so I like the idea that you're going to emphasize more of the stories, less of the tricks. That's not to imply that you're a bad magician. It's just that I like the mix of the two because of your history. And you've been, not to say that you're ancient, but you've been around Vegas a long time, and there's these interesting stories you can share with the audience. So I think that's a great approach to take.
It's a great combination there. And 44 years here. I came in 1980, January 4th of 1980. And I mean, everything that was here is not here anymore. You think about it. The Trop was one of the last great landmarks.
Right.
What did they call it? The Tiffany?
Tiffany of the Strip. Yeah.
Tiffany of the Strip. And it kind of breaks my heart to see that go. I remember when they started with the landmark and then boom, 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 boom. But they all started coming down. So,
well, I think for a finale, if you can implode Fielding West, I think that would be a hell of a...
There you go. I'll get the fire heater to come out and light me on fire.
So you're balancing it all out. So you're on tour with Lance on selected venues and dates. And as you say, depending on how the booker makes it, you might be on the road for a while, then you come back and then you go out again. But it's not constant, which is great, because otherwise that could be very tiring.
I got to tell you, I feel truly blessed. This August, I turned 75. So I came here when I was 30, and that went by, you know, that 44 years.
Oh, yeah, it all goes by. Yeah, exactly.
It all goes by very quickly. And I've been blessed enough that I still get to work at my age. I still get to go out. And Lance's show, I do about 15 minutes. Wait a minute. Here's a funny story. This is a Lance Burton story. We were doing a theater date in Southern California in Cerritos. And it was a show called It's Magic. It was started by the Larson family, the people that created the Magic Castle, and another producer. And what they would do is once a year, they would send out 8 or 9 magicians to these theaters. And they had about 8 or 9 in Southern California. And they would put on a show called It's Magic. And it was showcase all the new talent from the Magic Castle. And also, it was a big, great family venue. So we're in Cerritos. This is about 4 months ago. And Milt Larson, this is 2 weeks before he passed. And he's being escorted backstage. He didn't recognize me because no more hair dye. You know, I've got a beard. He comes back. He didn't even recognize me. So I said, Milt, it's Fielding. And he goes, what? So we start talking. And Lance Burton walks up and he says, how long can you go on stage without your oxygen concentrator? And I said, well, about 12 minutes, I guess. And then there was a long silence. And Lance goes, you mean all it took was COPD to get you to stick to your time?
Well, I just thought of something, too. Since you have the oxygen concentrator, one of the tricks could be the cut and restore tube.
Yeah, well, you're giving it away, but that's part of what I do. I do the cut and restore tube.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah. So
great minds think alike, because I hadn't seen you do it yet. So that's
how I've worked it into the show. And I figure if you're going to have it out there, you might as well use it. You know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What's the reaction of the crowd when you actually come out with the oxygen concentrator? The fact that you're able to work it into the act, do you get a good response?
Well, I do the first 4 minutes with Bob the Bird. So right. There is no oxygen concentrator during that period. And then the way I cue the girl is I say, this audience is so great, you're leaving me breathless. And when I say breathless, you're taking my breath away. She comes out with an oxygen concentrator. And the results that we've had is the audience actually believes it's a joke until I put it on, turn it on, put the rubber hose on. and the hose up my nose. I got a rubber hose up my nose. That's a key line. And it disappears after a while. People don't, aren't conscious of it. I think if I opened with it and I came out, you know, it's like people would be staring at it, wondering what it was. So I've just kind of worked it into the ambiance of Fielding West.
So do they react to it at all or just accept it because you worked it into the act?
That's a great question. I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico. This is last year, 7,100 feet. Even with this concentrator, there wasn't enough oxygen for Fielding. So they would literally push me right up to the edge of the stage in a wheelchair. I would get out of the wheelchair. I would walk out to the microphone. I would do my time. And then I would turn around, go back, get in the wheelchair. Then they would push me down a ramp. And when it came time for bows, they pushed the wheelchair back up to the edge of the stage. I got out, went out, took a bow. And then they took me out front because we had to sign autographs and sell merchandise and stuff. But interesting that you ask about this and how the audience responds. I pulled out a pair of scissors and I cut this rubber hose. The audiences that we attract, even in these retirement communities, are predominantly senior citizens. And a lot of them have these oxygen concentrators. And when I cut that hose, you could hear a moan go out over the audience because people were like, oh, no, he didn't do that.
You're giving them a heart attack, Fielding.
Absolutely. But it sure gave a much stronger effect when I put it back together.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And focuses the mind on the audience on you as well.
Yes.
You mentioned Bob the Bird. Tell us the history of Bob the Bird. When did Bob the Bird come into the act?
Bob the Bird came around 1978. I was in Jacksonville, Florida. I had just left a Saturday morning kid show guy. For a post Newsweek station, WJXT. It was a CBS affiliate, and it was owned by the Washington Post. They had four stations. One of them was in Jacksonville. And I was the Amazing Fielding, and the name of the show was Magic Gang. So Ronnie Van Zant, who of the creator of Leonard Skinner, this obviously was before the famous airplane crash that took his life. His kids wanted to be on the Magic Gang TV show. So Ronnie sends his father, Lacey Van Zant, down to our station. He brings the two kids. They put them on the show. And about a week, 2 weeks later, there was another group that that Leonard Skinner was responsible for. They were responsible for 38 Special, and they're also responsible for Molly Hatchet. Well, the Molly Hatchet group had not had a label yet. They didn't have their label yet. So they were playing in a rock and roll club. And Ronnie thought, hey, you know what? Let's get that guy off the TV to open for Molly Hatchet. So here I am. The Amazing Fielding comes out. And I was opening for Molly Hatchet, which turned out to be that's where I was literally discovered. There was agents that were there in the back because they wanted to put these guys on tour. And they some agents from South Florida said, let's get this guy a band. He said, what else can you do? I said, well, I do hypnosis. In fact, there's a little piece of all of this, and I'm just going to get a little plug for myself here. If you go to fieldingwest.com, fieldingwest.com, you'll get to see a piece of my TV special, my one-hour TV special that Lance Burton produced for me back in 2005. You'll also get to see me performing hypnosis. So when I started, I was doing two shows a night. The first show would be the magic show, and the second show, the late show, would be the hypnosis show. And I had a five-piece band that traveled with me that were out of St. Louis. And we toured for about a year and a half, almost 2 years before I made it to Las Vegas.
But you didn't answer my question, which is the origin of Bob the Bird.
See, I was just went right off. So Bob the Bird, David Letterman had a TV show. His first TV show was a morning show. I don't know if you remember this, but he had a morning show and he had a dog and he would let his dog walk around the set. So this dog would, you know, he'd bring on a guest and the dog would walk up and lick the guest's hand or lay down, you know, on his feet. It was very funny. The dog's name was Bob. And I thought, Bob the dog. Hey, wait a minute. How about Bob the bird? So I decided to call my bird Bob. Now, I have a brother named Robert. He goes by Bob. Rather upset when I started. He thought it was named after him.
Of course.
I said, "There's you're not the only Bob on the planet. So, you know, relax."
I want to point out, in case anybody's watching this and sees not Fielding West's name where Fielding West is on the screen, it's because he's at a friend's location. And
that's my friend Greg Gleason, a very, very accomplished illusionist and mentalist. My computer was down, as you know, so Greg's one of my neighbors, and here I am.
Great. No, that works out. Yeah, that works. That works out fine. Well, getting back now to the Ahern, it's an unusual room because it is a comedy room, and there's comedians that come every week and perform. In fact, a couple of them have been guests on this show before. So this is, I think, your first time. Am I correct? First time at the Ahern?
No, I've been when they were opening the room.
Okay.
They asked me to come and do 10 minutes. So I went down there and did a little opener so they could get a feel. The owners could get a feel for what it was going to be like
right.
to have variety acts. So there's not just comics. There's variety acts. There's jugglers. There's magicians, singers, sometimes a dancer. I mean, they have a lot of variety there. And so when I think of it, they might not be happy with me saying this. I don't really think of it as a comedy club per se. I think of it as a variety club, which is a lot better, because you're going to see a lot of show when you go in there. The prices are great. I mean, the room is intimate. The people there that run the place are fantastic. I mean, it's really, really classy, and it's really, really well run.
That's good to know. And I like the fact that we had that period of time, if you remember, Fielding, where not so much magic has always been part of Las Vegas, but comedy was on the decline occasionally. It ebbed and flowed. It was popular, then it went away, and then it came back. And now we have quite a few comedy rooms in Las Vegas. This is the newest one, other than Jimmy Kimmel's. So I'm delighted that there's so many comedy or variety rooms out here, as well as, again, magic, which is always amazing to me that it just keeps going despite challenges from various quarters, especially with the internet, YouTube technology, and being able to figure out tricks and illusions, which sure. takes away the magic of the magic, to use redundancy there. But it still works. If you're a natural performer, which you are, you in your case combine, as I mentioned in the opening, comedy, magic. You have hypnosis. You have Bob the Bird. You have all kinds of strange diseases. So it's all a mix of things with Fielding West. And what you see is what you may get.
Well, I want to plug a friend of mine, my good friend, Mr. Pete Barbeauty, will be there in 2 weeks.
Right.
He will be playing the club. So that's going to be for you comedy lovers. And, you know, Pete's getting up there in age, and he's still just as funny today.
He is.
He comes out and he plays that piano and does all those
yep.
Pete Barbeauty antics. You know, he's fantastic.
When you go out on stage, and is the feeling the same now as it was 20, 30, 40 years ago for you when you come up on stage and you're going to meet the audience?
Well, gee, that's kind of I don't know exactly how to answer that. I feel so much more confident now because of 50 years of experience.
Right.
Actually 49 years of experience and doing professional, you know, show business. And, you know, when you look at somebody like Pete's got at least 15 more years than I've got.
Right.
So when you see these guys that have been around for a while.
The veteran performers.
Real performers. You're getting the real thing. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So you did answer it. It's more confidence based on your years on the boards. And it's also, I think, you're able to adapt, as you said, you incorporated more storytelling. So that's, you wouldn't have been able to figure that out necessarily 30 years ago. That's what you wanted to do, but you clearly look at what you're doing and where you need to add more and take away other things.
Well, also just naturally, I didn't have the experience. So I didn't have the stories, you know,
I was
young and I was coming up in show business but I started telling these stories about 8 or 9 years ago Lance Burton has been encouraging me to write a book, which I've started 5 or 6 times. I've got so many stories in it. It's going to have to be edited. I have enough stories for at least 2 books.
Amazing. And you probably, the problem you have, the challenge you have, is you're using disappearing ink.
Disappearing ink?
Yes.
Ira, you're sliding one in on me there.
I'm sorry. I guess I had to do that.
I signed my checks with disappearing ink.
Oh, no wonder you're homeless. Okay, that makes sense. So the again, I'll obviously mention where you are, the dates again too, which is the 11th, 12th, and 13th. We'll do it one more time before I let you go. But before I let you go, what do you think is the biggest highlight of your career? If you had to pick one, I know there's many, clearly, with your years in the business, but what's the one highlight?
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to scratch my head on this one.
It could be a venue or a person you met or an experience you had, any of those.
Presidents, governors. I think the first time I met Jerry Lewis was probably one of the biggest, you know, I was just overwhelmed with emotion. Mel Brooks, I went to Mel and I got to know each other. Mel turns out that he liked what I did. And he'd seen me. I got to go see him do one of his shows. His show is storytelling. That Pete Barbuti show is storytelling. So I think this has just been a natural progression for Fielding to bring out the stories. I think people want to hear stories. And I'm not going to belabor this, but there's never been any language. I don't use any foul language in my show. I know that you can get enough of that in what they call a regular comedy venue. I don't have a problem with that. I just, when I came out here, the mob guys used to say to you, the bosses of these hotels said, if you don't say, you don't use any foul language at all, or you're fired. And so if I got started that way.
So, and that, I think it gives you more variety. You can perform at corporate appearances, et cetera.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Fielding West, performing at the A-Stars Comedy Show at the Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel. It's a mouthful. April 11th, 12th, and 13th at 8 p.m. And for ticket information, go to ahernhotel.com. And the most important thing for everything about Fielding West, go to fieldingwest.com, and you can follow him on Facebook. And Fielding, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me again, Ira. This is what, number 6 or 7 now?
I think so. I have to account. Yes, absolutely.
Very nice. Thank you, my friend.
You got it. See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Hey,